This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, Mac the Knife turns 75. But first, I wonder if Peter Applebaum ever asked himself, as Mel Brooks once put it, what's a sophisticated urbanite like me doing in a place like this? Peter Applebaum is a writer and editor for the New York Times. He lives in worldly Chappaqua, New York, though not necessarily close to the Clintons. But for the past 3 years, Peter Applebaum has been spending a lot of time in the woods with his son Ben and Ben's Boy Scout troop. His late-life respect for scouting, its history and teachings, if not always the formal Boy Scouts of America, is told in the new book, Scout's Honor, A Father's Unlikely Foray into the Woods. Peter Applebaum and his son Ben now join us from our New York bureau. Mr. Applebaum and Master Applebaum, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Ben, what got you interested in scouting?
I've always loved the outdoors. I love to camp and hike and do all that. And that was what really drew me into scouting. It wasn't so much the badges or making eagle or anything like that. It was really the outdoors that really brought me into it.
Could I get the two of you to recollect your wonderful pastoral father and son nature of that first canoe trip together that you took?
The first canoe trip was the first outing we did with the troop. Mm-hmm. And we go to this lovely spot on the Delaware River where our scoutmaster, Dr. Flang, commences to scare both of us to death with his explanations of all the horrible things that could happen, whether we'd catch hypothermia when our canoe capsized, or we would drown under underwater boulders. I am not a kid, but I found myself exactly in the mindset of a terrified 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. The first thing we did within about 5 seconds of shoving off is, and I'm steering us, we immediately hit a rock. And all of the horrible scenarios that Dr. Flank had played out, I thought, oh my God, in my first 10 seconds of scouting, I'm going to drown us and go down in history as the single worst scout who ever lived. But, you know, then it turns out within 20 or 30 seconds of thrashing around, we got off the rock and sort of managed slowly to figure out what we were doing with the illustrious J-stroke we'd been taught, and then actually had a very lovely time once we figured out that we weren't going to drown.
I want to get you to read a section from your book, if we could, Mr. Applebaum.
I would love to.
And maybe Ben's reaction to it as well. I guess we call this the bear bag section.
Basically what happens, we have our first semi-disastrous canoe trip, which we survive, and then we go out into the woods on our first camp out, where we have a tent that I borrowed from somebody, never having owned or wanted to own a tent, and we had set it up in our living room at home, but in the woods we were kind of flummoxed and couldn't figure it out, so one of the scoutmasters comes over and sets it up for us, and then this ensues. It's a borrowed tent, I said, in a lame attempt to convey the idea that we were not total incompetents, only temporarily stymied by this unfamiliar tent. We haven't used this one before. He gave me a sympathetic but condescending look, making it clear I hadn't fooled anyone. You got your bear bag? Mr. Johnson asked. Our what? I blurted out in a voice that no doubt betrayed more concern than I wanted to express at that moment. Your bear bag, he said twice as loud, the way Americans do in foreign countries when they assume the ignorant locals will understand their English if they just say it loud enough. Holy mackerel, I thought. Now this was serious. I was not unmindful of my lessons from the canoe trip about the relationship between possible peril and the chances of it ever actually transpiring. But even if there was just a small chance of a bear wandering into the campsite, no one had told us anything about trapping him or her in a bag. Questions began racing through my mind. What kind of bag could it possibly be? Where'd you get one? Did you sneak up behind him and slip the bag over him? Or did you set a trap, presumably with a honey jar, and wait for the bear to wander into the bear bag? What if the bear didn't fit in the bear bag? Shouldn't we have had some bear bag instruction rather than on-the-job training with 1,000 pounds of very hacked-off bear? What if he or she got out? What if he or she didn't get out? Where could you possibly take a bear bag loaded, as it were, for bear? What did loaded for bear mean anyway? You hang it from a tree, Dad, said Ben patiently. You put your food in a bag and hang it from a tree so the bears can't get it. Oh, that bear bag.
Ben, did he ever embarrass you?
I'd say this embarrassed me. Because he's the guy that's supposed to know what he's doing. He's my dad. He's supposed to know how to set up the tent. Know that you don't catch a bear in a bear bag. You just put your food in there.
Rather more in your line of work, Mr. Applebaum. You found yourself liking the campfire scene.
I came to like a lot of it. I found that scouting was in lots of ways a really nice counterbalance to a lot of the more competitive, snotty elements of suburban life. And things like the campfires turned out to be these sort of wonderful, sort of social bonding kind of events where you have all these people who might not have known each other before, but you're stuck there in the wilderness at night with nothing to do but tell stories, tell jokes, entertain each other. You get to know other people's kids. They get to know all these different grown-ups. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that's sort of in the atomized world that we live in these days. You don't find that often.
Like my dad said, it really is a great way to get to know these people without these external distractions like a TV or a video game. There's nothing to do but talk and entertain each other and look into the fire, and it's really a special moment.
You and your son have been scouts during a period when the Supreme Court decision came down in the matter of the Boy Scouts of America versus James Dale. As a citizen, Mr. Applebaum, you don't like the Boy Scout of America position on this.
Right.
And yet you chose to remain in scouting with your son.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you had friends who said, look, I can't have us belong to an organization that practices prejudice towards gays.
Yeah, no, that's something that I sort of wrestled with. And I would say that the positive things that scouts do outweigh this misguided policy. One, I think for a lot of kids, particularly low and middle income kids, scouting is the only way they get to experience the wilderness. I mean, rich kids in Chappaqua can spend money and go on these wilderness adventures. Mm-hmm. Poor kids, it's kind of scouting or nothing. Two, I think the policy in lots of ways, in this, to me, completely pathetic way, is really more an argument among an adults than a real world one. In the real world, very, very, very few kids declare themselves gay at 12, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Applebaum, you've got a series of suggestions towards the end of your book, ways in which you think modern scouting could be improved.
Yes, I have various ones, and I do them respectfully. I mean, I disagree with the BSA, but I mean, there are terrific people within scouting. So I have various ones. I mean, one, and this is kind of a radical one, I think they should throw out the uniforms. Troops could have T-shirts and baseball caps, something like that, that give cohesion without that uniform that just seems so behind the times. Mm-hmm. I think scouting should find a new dynamic leader. I mean, scouting for decades has been run by these sort of faceless lifetime scouters now operating out of Irving, Texas. Mm-hmm. And they ought to find, you know, an astronaut, a ball player, someone like that, who I think could in lots of ways exemplify a lot of the values of the organization. I think the scouts should throw out their discriminatory policies. The scouts could play this amazing role in fostering diversity. In suburban New York or suburban Washington or almost any place, privileged white kids and inner city black kids, you know, could live on separate planets. And I think a great thing for scouting to do would be to sort of have a program where you have a troop in Harlem and a troop in Chappaqua that are brother troops that do things on an ongoing basis and get to know each other, which I think could be, you know, an amazing service that scouting could provide. I mean, scouting, I think, really does believe in diversity, but I don't think, like a lot of us, they know quite how to embrace it in today's world, and I think that's one way to do it.
Applebaum, it's been very nice talking to both of you.
Well, Scott, it's been very nice talking to you.
Ben Applebaum is 16 years old, and his father, Peter Applebaum, a reporter and editor for the New York Times. Mr. Applebaum has written a book called Scout's Honor, A Father's Unlikely Foray into the Woods.